I'm hoping I'm not going to have technology failure. My iPad battery is dying quite rapidly, but fingers crossed it will all work. I joined the transparency team last June to help with the development of our second National Action Plan. So I went through the process, very difficult process last summer, of working closely with Tim Involve and the UK network to try and pull that plan together. And since then, I've been working on taking that forward and implementing that plan and trying to continue with the work that we built up last summer and those relationships. But first of all, I'll tell you a little bit about more, I suppose, about what we do in the transparency team in the Cabinet Office. So we work across government to achieve meaningful reform. So we're quite a small team, but we're working with relevant contacts in different departments to try and help make some of these changes. The Government Digital Service, a couple of years ago, published some design principles, and the 10th one is something that we very much follow. We should share what we're doing whenever we can with colleagues, with users, with the world. So by making things open, we can make things better. By doing this, we'll lead to a more open and accountable government. Citizens can hold us to account, they can see what we're doing, they can question more how we're spending their money, how we're delivering the services. It'll improve the public services, and it will provide economic growth, getting this open data out there and allowing other people out there in the world to kind of use this data, create things to help citizens. Within the team, we have three main objectives. Get high-quality data out of government and into the public hands. Now, one of the things that Minister Hamilton mentioned, that in Northern Ireland, it's about getting the data out at high quality rather than getting masses of data out. Our approach is slightly different to that, and we consider getting the data out into the public hands can help improve that quality. We work to reach a wider audience of data users, so we're working across the UK, working with local authorities, seeing what's going on, where there's good practice, where that can be shared. Maintain the UK's international position as a leader on open data and transparency. This is where our work on the OGP comes in. We coordinate the work across the OGP. We work with the Minister, who's on the steering committee of the OGP, to help ensure that we're continuing to do things, to work internationally to improve things, not just in the UK, but elsewhere. Our achievements so far. So data.gov.uk is the UK data portal. We've got over 15,000 data sets published on there now, but there are actually over 18,000 data sets listed. So even if we don't publish a data set, we're telling people what we own. The 2012 Open Data White Paper kind of set out our agenda and taking forward the policies that we're going to deliver over the next few years. We helped launch the Open Data Institute, which has now been up and running for, I believe, 2 years, working to help get better use of data, helping incubate projects and ensure that the data we're using can be used effectively. We made some changes to the FOI Act, so there's more sort of right to access of data. At the OGP Summit last year, we published a national information infrastructure. So this set out the data sets that have the highest economic and social impact if they were released. We're currently working on a second iteration of that to continue that good work that was done to see how we can take it forward. As part of our presidency of the G8 last year, we got all the G8 countries to sign up to an open data charter, which sets out how data should be used, the principles behind it. We also were the chair of the Open Government Partnership. 2013 was a very, very busy year for transparency. We hosted the OGP Summit in September last year, which attended by 80 countries, and was definitely, you know, the international community saw it as a very great success. We work with various bodies to help sort of implement transparency across the government. We work across government with departments, public bodies and local authorities to help embed this new way of doing things and try and make some positive change. We use external representation through the Public Sector Transparency Board and the Open Data User Group to help inform our strategies and make sure we're doing things that matter out to the wider community. The Open Data Institute and other organisations like that work with open data use that in the real world. And obviously the UK OGP Civil Society Network. So through international cooperation, like the G8, the OGP and the G20, we're working to help create change and drive more openness. This leads to greater innovation and new connections. We can learn from others' experiences. We can work together to try and bolster change. You know, the UK on its own can't do so, but working with other countries, we can try and encourage more and more to happen. And we're really lucky that we have really high-level political commitment. As David Cameron at the OGP Summit last year, launching the public beneficial ownership register that the UK signed up to, we were the first country to do so, to actually make it a public register. We're also lucky that we've got the Minister for the Cabinet Office strongly behind us and supporting this. So a big thread through all this is the partnership between government and civil society. Behind the OGP, it's all about the co-creation. Government can't do things on their own. They need to work with civil society. We can create further ambition and get the work going faster across government. It also means we can do things in slightly different ways. There's already been some questions about government working with outside bodies to try and deliver public services. This is the sort of thing that we can start doing by working with people outside of government. And it also brings people together that are all looking to change, so together we can all try and work. We all come from different backgrounds, different experiences, that we can try and work together to drive it forward. So the UK and the OGP, Peter gave some background to the OGP. The UK was one of the founding members back in 2011, and that's when we published our first National Action Plan. So there were some criticisms of the first National Action Plan. I think, you know, it was a new thing. No one really knew what was expected as a result of this. Main criticisms for the UK was too open data focused and minimal civil society engagement. So off the back of that, the UK OGP Civil Society Network self-formed and approached government wanting to work with us. That was warmly welcomed by the government, with MCO offering his personal support to ensure that the Cabinet Office worked with them to continue to work together as we took forward our work on the OGP. The Independent Reporting Mechanism report was published in September last year, a little bit late, really, for helping us inform our second National Action Plan. But like I said, we learned the lessons, the major criticisms on the open data and civil society engagement, and really worked on that to publish a second National Action Plan in a very, very different way. The second National Action Plan was developed over quite a long period, but particularly over the sort of 4 months last summer, working with civil society, linking up civil society organisations, the relevant interested parties, with the relevant policy leads in government to enable them to work on commitments together. Previously, Cabinet Office had been a gatekeeper. We were sort of acting as the middleman between civil society and government. We needed to break that down to make sure it could be driven forward. So we linked up the relevant interested parties and let them work together directly. And that's how we developed the 21 commitments that sat into the National Action Plan that was published. We're now 1 year on. Can't believe it was a year ago already that we published it, but we're 1 year into a two-year plan. We're trying to continue that joint approach of working together. We didn't want to just develop the commitments together and then government go away and deliver them on their own. We need to continue to work together to ensure that it's an actually effective thing, and this approach of working with civil society does become a reality. It's not just something we did to produce a plan. We're also being open and transparent about the progress we're making. So hopefully later this week we'll be publishing our second load of progress reports that just gives the opportunity to say how well we're doing. Are we on track to meet our commitments? Are we behind schedule? Let's be honest and open about what we're doing and how we're getting there. The Minister of the Cabinet Office actually commented yesterday that he's not worried that we're behind schedule on quite a few things, because if we weren't behind schedule, then it wouldn't have been ambitious. It would have been an easy thing to do. So this, you know, it's something that government are quite happy to do, is admit, to say that we are not getting everywhere as quickly as we hope to be. We're also trying to continue to further stretch our ambition. We don't want to just say this is a National Action Plan, we're going to go and deliver it and walk away from it. We want to continue to show how we can do more. Two commitments in the plan we've already added additional milestones to through the work that's already happened this year, and we want to continue to do that. We don't want to say, yeah, tick, done, and then leave it on the shelf. We want to continue further. So what are we doing next? We're very, very conscious that the engagement so far has been quite minimal. The civil society network, as good as it is very sort of limited with the areas of interest and the groups of people. We want to broaden that out and make sure that we get a full representation of the UK involved in conversations. We also need to make it a more local and national level. So the devolved governments is one of the definite things that weren't able to address through this National Action Plan. Obviously, it's one of the reasons I'm here today, to try and work out how we can get Northern Ireland more involved and make sure that the next National Action Plan truly is representational of the whole UK. I just lost myself in my notes. We have to publish a self-assessment in February next year. So this needs us to have a look and see how well we're doing. How did the development of the National Action Plan work? How are we going on implementing our commitments? Are we doing what we said we were going to do? This is going to be a great opportunity for us to learn from some stuff we already know, but also see what else there is that we don't know. We will be going out to those people involved and to a broader audience to try and get some more, see where we can improve for the next plan. There'll also be an independent reporting mechanism being published, I think, in June next year. We're already working with the researcher on that. We want to make sure that he can get information more quickly and easily than the researcher for the last IRM, who found it very, very difficult to find out what was going on. And this is all working towards our third National Action Plan, which is due to be published in January 2016. I think that's it, yeah. So Northern Ireland involvement, this is a sort of a big thing, that there's not an easy answer to how we make the UK National Action Plan truly national, how we deal with what's going on at a very, very local sort of local government level, but also involve the devolved governments. This isn't something that only the UK are having difficulties with. There isn't an easy answer. Governments across the world work in different ways and are trying to all try and resolve this problem, that how we can have a national action plan that truly is representational. I think the research that Peter's taken us through that's done is a really, really good starter, so we can start seeing where work in Northern Ireland links to what we've got in the UK National Action Plan, where you may be doing more or less, and how we can start bringing that together. Some of the things that Ms. Hamilton was talking about, the things that you're doing here, the draft budget stuff, this is really interesting stuff. Budget participation is one of the key things that we weren't able to address in our last National Action Plan. So it's interesting to see how it's working in Northern Ireland and whether we can adopt that more broadly across the UK. We really encourage civil society to work with Northern Ireland Executive and try and identify where the issues are and how they can start taking things forward. And that's definitely what we want to do as well, to work with them and see how jointly Cabinet Office and Northern Ireland Executive can take this work forward. And we definitely want to keep in touch and see how things progress so that we can truly work together to have that final next National Action Plan 2016 truly a national plan. Thank you.